This is Pastor Wayne Waycaster. I hope you enjoy the message that's about to come your way, and I hope it's a blessing to you, or I hope it's a conviction message that'll bring you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
If you have your Bibles, and I know that you do this morning, turn to St. John chapter 18. We'll be looking at the first few verses of that chapter. And if you'll remember the last part of our Sunday school, the last quarter, we went up through verse 17 of John, or 16, and then we transferred into 1 John for this quarter. And as I was reading and studying last quarter, I just finished out the book of John, and with Easter coming up, there's not too much better to be reading in the Bible than what John had to say about Christ's trials and crucifixion. I know all the Gospels are good, but I like John. I like John. I can relate to John a whole lot better. The 18th chapter of John, the first few verses, kept sticking in my mind and gnawing and hurting and working around. Very stirring scripture this morning. Beginning with the first verse of chapter 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, he knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told ye that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which ye spake. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Speaking to you for just a few moments from verses 4 and 5. When they came at him with lanterns, and they came at him with torches, and they came at him with weapons, with a score of men to take him into custody, even though he'd been in their presence in the temple all week long, even though he'd been in their presence in the streets all week long, and they had come to debate him, the scribes and the Pharisees had. They had come to trick him. They had come to try to discredit him and to ruin his name. And time again, he was able to stand head and shoulders above them and superior to them in intellect and of love and in every other aspect of humanity. They knew exactly where he was at. They had spies that followed him night and day. They knew the house that he had taken the Last Supper in. They knew exactly where this man Jesus was. But they came upon him in the middle of the night when the rest of the city slept, because they were cowards, because they were murderers, because they were trying to do their own will and not the will of God. They came after Jesus with a band of soldiers. And the Bible says, him knowing all these things, he went and met them. He went and met them, and he asked them, he said, Whom seek ye? And they said, We seek Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And the power and the strength and the glory and the holiness and the righteousness of those three words, I am he, was enough to send to those hardened soldiers, those Roman guards, those temple guards, those fierce men of battle and war, reeling backwards onto their backsides, onto the flat of their backs, just the power that this man Jesus commanded in his words alone that came out of his mouth. Don't tell me a man took Jesus into custody and killed him. Wasn't possible. His words right then could have killed everyone that was standing in front of him. Just the utterance of his admitting who he was knocked them on their backs. It was more than they could forcefully withstand in the flesh. And he asked them again, "Now whom seek you?" And I'm sure they weren't as brave. Their swords didn't comfort them as much the second time they asked who they came after. And they said, "We seek Jesus." And he said, I've told you. "For 3 years I've told you who I am. I've told you that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me. I've told you that those who have seen me have seen the Father. I've told you all these things. I've told you who I am. Now knowing that, let these depart." Talking about his disciples that were with him. I already prayed to God in the 17th chapter of John. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful prayer of Christ as he prays for not only his disciples but for us as well, that God watch over and keep. "Whom seek ye this morning? Whom seek ye this morning? Why are you here this morning? Why are you here?" Well, it's Sunday. You go to church on Sunday. That's not why you're here. No. There are thousands of places you could be this morning. You came here for a reason this morning. I don't care if you're a child of God. I don't care if you're backslidden. I don't care if you've lost. Never accepted in the free pardon of sin. You came here for a reason this morning. If you didn't want to be here, you would not have come. You cannot make a person do what they don't want to do. "Well, brother, I came because of somebody else. No, you didn't. Somebody else may have asked you. Somebody else may have goaded you. Somebody else may have drove you. Somebody else may have begged and pleaded with you to come. But you walked through those doors of your own free will this morning, and you came because you had a need, and you knew instinctively, deep down inside where God placed it, this is the place where needs can be met. This is the only place in this world where your needs can find fulfillment." I was looking around for something last Sunday. My wife asked me, "What are you looking for?" In other words, she was saying, "What do you want me to do for you this morning?" She'd already found stuff for the kids. And "What do you need me to do for you this morning?" I had to ask her. I had to tell her what I was looking for so she could find it, so she could do for me. Christ is standing this morning. What can I do for you this morning? What can I do for you this morning? When he asked that question, "Whom seek ye?" Whom do you seek this morning? It's the same as asking, "What can I do for you?" Because all men seek Jesus. All men. Well, the lost world doesn't seek Jesus. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Because every man, woman, boy, and girl, when they were created, God made a spot inside of them for His Spirit to dwell. And in times of pain, in times of grief, in times when they're scared, Brother Buford, in combat, in battle, there's no atheists in foxholes, are there, Brother Buford? When you're in danger of dying, what do you cry out? You cry out, "Oh my God, my God, my God." An atheist will cry out for God when the threat of death, of harm, of pain. And Christ says, "What do you require of me? Whom seek ye this morning? What are you looking for?" We've got two couples in the church that are engaged. Asa and Suzanne. Nathan and Melissa, engaged to be married. This is going to be fun. But they don't know what they're doing. They've never done it before. They don't know what they're in for. They don't know what to expect. We can sit back and watch. We just sit back and watch. Try to help as much as we can out of brotherly love, out of Christian love. But they have needs. They have things that are going to come up that they're going to require, that they're going to need. First and foremost, both couples, when they get married, well, they're going to need some place to live. They're going to have a house. They've got to have a place to live. I've been there. Here in a couple of weeks, my wife and I will celebrate our 10th anniversary. Thank God it's through Him alone that we've made it this far. Give Him all the praise and the glory. I know from experience, you won't find it looking by self. You won't find it out on your own just trying to look and find, oh, we like that one. We think we can afford that one. Oh, that's a nice one. That fits just exactly what for it. That's not going to work. That's not going to accomplish a thing. Until you get down on your faces, put self aside. God, not what I want, not what I think I can afford. God, not where I want to be, Father. What you want me to have, Lord Jesus. What you want me to have, God. What you can provide for me, not me. I knew they wouldn't mind me bringing them up. See, they have needs. We've all got needs. We all have needs. We're human. We're breathing. We've got needs. This is a needy place. We're needy people, aren't we, Brother J.D.? You better believe it. We're all looking for something. If nothing else, right now, you're looking for me to sit down and shut up so you can go home. You're looking for something. 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man who was hurting. Pastor used this scripture here not too many Sundays ago. Maybe been last Sunday. His name was Naaman. He was hurting physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. This man was in pain. Leprosy. The worst thing you could have. The worst disease imaginable at that time. It cuts you off. You could not touch another individual. You couldn't shake hands. You couldn't hug your family's neck. They wouldn't be in the same room with you. This man was one of the finest military leaders of the time. He had to be because he led the host of the Persian army. He was the captain of the host. The king wouldn't have put him in that position if he wasn't good, if he wasn't a very, very able commander and warrior. But he would have to be separated from his own lieutenants. When they would have their battle strategy, he would be in a room separated. How do you know, brother? Don't say that in the Bible. Because I've got a brain that God gave me. Because I know you didn't mix with lepers at the time. You didn't breathe the same air that they breathed. This man could not even stand and watch a battle being fought that he had planned out. His men wouldn't even go into battle with him. He couldn't even fight with his men because they wouldn't stand beside him. He hurt mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. It's a disease where your body rots. Basically, that's what it does. It rots. The extremities, your fingers, your toes, your nose, your ears, they just fall off. They rot and die and fall off. The man was in pain beyond imagination. And the pastor brought it out so wonderfully, the little Israelite slave girl. Said, oh, if he was only in Israel. I know a man. I know a man that could heal him. There's a man this morning in this house. If you have a pain this morning, he can meet whatever that need is and alleviate that pain this morning. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care if it's emotional. Whatever that need is, he can meet it this morning. Can he, Sister Carol? He can. You hear those fingers this morning on those keys? No pain. No pain. Why? It's not the doctor up the street. It's not the pills that he gave her. It's not any of those things. It's because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ heard the prayers of his children when they cried out for their sister who was in pain, and he answered those prayers and relieved her affliction. If you're sitting here this morning and you walk out that door and you walk out in pain and you haven't came to an altar and ask the Lord Jesus, hey, I have something I need you to help me with. That's your fault. If you walk out of this house hurting and you haven't come to Jesus and give it to God, I don't care what it is physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever it is, if you leave here without giving it to Christ, it's nobody's blame but yours, because he stands right now, arms outstretched over the balcony of heaven, saying, bring it to me. Please bring it to me. Great tears falling from his face. If we could look up and see it, he'd be weeping. Please bring it. Please bring those things to me. I don't want you to hurt. When you have a child who's sick, laying in bed, and you're laying there in bed beside you, I know you do. I know you do. The child, he may be feverish. very unsettled sleep, tossing, turning, mumbling in their sleep, talking in. I can't stand that when they do that. Oh, that it breaks my heart when they get that sick and they do that. And you lay there and you pet them. And you rub their hair. And you cry out in the middle of the night, God, give it to me. God, take it off my child and give it to me, God. God, let me hurt instead of them. God, give me the sickness instead of them. What do you think Christ does when He stands and you have a need and you have a pain? He says, God, I've died for that. I've been striped for that. I've already went through everything that needs to be done. I've experienced it. Just bring it to me. Bring it to me. What seek ye? The woman with an issue of blood, same condition as Naaman. Ostracized, unclean, couldn't even go into the house of God. That woman couldn't go to the temple if she wanted to. They wouldn't let her in. She was bleeding. She was unclean. She just wanted to touch the hem of the garment. She said, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. He's sitting there this morning, folks, with those arms wide. You can come and He'll wrap His arms around you. You won't touch just the hem of His garment this morning, but He'll encircle you with those strong arms of love that He's got. And as Brother Scott Klein used to say, He'll love you from the inside out. He'll hug you like nobody's ever hugged you before. If you'll come to Him. If you'll bring it to Him. There's some of you here this morning. You're just tired. You're worn out. Been a long winter, a lot of sickness, hard work, a lot of things going on at work, in the house, or at home. You've not got a lot of sleep. You're tired physically, mentally, and emotionally. You're just worn out. You just come to the point where I just can't go anymore. I'm exhausted. I've used all my energies and my faculties, God. I'm just at my end. The batteries are dead. Psalms 37. Flip over there quickly with me. Just keep an eye on and make sure I'm reading you right from the Word of God. Psalm 37. Psalmist David tells us, fret not. Fret not. Don't worry. Because of evildoers, neither be they envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off down like grass and wither. Trust in the Lord, it says in verse 3, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way. And verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You cannot find rest in self. You cannot find rest in the government. You can't find rest in me. I can help you as much as physically that I'm able to help you, but I cannot give you rest. I cannot give you peace. I can tell you everything is going to be all right. I can tell you what the Word of God says. I can pray with you. I can cry with you. I can laugh with you. But I cannot give you the assurance of Jesus Christ. I can try to share my spirit with you. I can empathize with you. I can feel your pain. I can hurt like you're hurting. But I cannot give you that assurance. That assurance only comes from the Holy Ghost of God, which comes from Christ Jesus. And that only comes when you do what Asa said you do in the Sunday school lesson. You don't take just part of the verse. You take the whole thing. You don't just take the part that says, whatsoever you ask, I'll do. You'll take the whole verse, whatsoever you ask, I'll do. If you have faith in God the Father and love the brethren and follow my word. Doers of the word, not hearers only. Are you here today and you're tired? The struggle is too hard. I've been there. When I wanted to throw my hands up, cried out to God, said, God, I can't go any further. I'm done. I'm finished. I don't even have strength to tie the rope around my waist. God, you're going to have to reach down here and get me. I'm finished. when you cry out to God. When you cry out to God, I am finished, Father. I'm done. I've exhausted self, Father. What have you done? You've humbled yourself before God. You've humbled yourself before God, admitted that self cannot do, and you've looked to the Father. How simple. How simple. How simple. How simple. You're here today, and there's just something inside you. You don't know what it is. It's unknown. There's something inside calling, drawing, gnawing, driving. You don't know what it is. But there's something inside of you that just ain't right. Brother, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you looking for something. You don't know what it is you're looking for. I've been there. I've been there. Something inside drawing, calling. It's the Holy Ghost of God wooing. It's conviction from God the Father. That's what it is. Well, how come you don't know what it is? Because you've never experienced it before. You're separated from God. You can't know godly things if you're not of God. Well, good, I'm a Christian, and I don't have to worry about it. No. The Bible says there are mysteries of God that we do not know, that He's not allowed us as children of God to understand. There may be something He is preparing you for as a child, maybe to move you up to the next level. Maybe He's going to send you here. Maybe you're going to face something in the next few weeks, and He wants you to prepare for it now and get ready. But whatever it is, there's something inside that's moving you. It feels like there's just a swarm of ants inside you, just crawling around everywhere. You can't be still. You can't find comfort. You can't relax. You don't know what it is, but there's something inside that's drawing. Maybe an emptiness. Maybe a desire for something that you don't even know what it is you're desiring. Psalms chapter 63, the 63rd Psalm. Again, David. Oh God, Thou art my God, and early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Folks, you go outside those doors, and the society we live in, it's a dry and a thirsty land. And there is no water, because the water is the Spirit of God. There is no water outside of Christ, spiritually speaking. Well, brother, I can go down here and there's a big old lake. I ain't talking about that physical water. Not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about spiritual water. I'm talking about life-giving water. You won't find it separated from God. You won't find it away from God. Verse 2, he says, to seek thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I come to seek the face of God this morning. I come to get a blessing this morning, to be a blessing and to see others get blessed. I come to worship the Lord this morning. Praise His holy name. Glorify the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Any other thing is just gravy on top of that. He's worthy to be praised. If we were laying in a ditch dying from some unknown disease without a penny to our name, He's worthy of every praise that our body could give Him, because He's God. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, verse 3 says. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. If you look over in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you hunger, come unto me. Any man that thirsts, I am the water of life. Come unto me and you'll never thirst again. Jesus is the satisfaction of that need in your life. I don't care what the need is. I don't care if it's a pain. I don't care if it's anxiety. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you just feel like no one loves you, no one respects you, you don't get any appreciation, there's no belonging, there's no fulfillment. I don't care what the need is in your life. It doesn't matter what the need is in your life. There's something that you have a need for this morning. Whether you just needed to come in the house of God to praise God or not, you had a need to come here. You had a need to come. That's why you came. Whatever the need this morning, Jesus stands there and says, what are you seeking this morning? Come tell me. Come tell me this morning. I'm through this morning. That's all God wants this morning. He wants to tell you that He's standing there right now saying, come, bring your needs to me this morning. I will meet them. But come this morning. Sister Carol, Sister Louise, come get a song. What's your need this morning? I may not know what all your needs are. Some of them I may be able to figure out logically. Some of them, if I talk with you long enough, my spirit may be able to bear witness, and I'll know what your needs are. But I can't know them all. But I know a man who does. He's standing there this morning. He knows what you need before you ask him. Before you ask him, he knows what the need is. And he's got the solution. He's got it. Brother, I thought you didn't preach that health, wealth, and prosperity. I don't. I didn't say he'd take you out of whatever you're in. Never said that. I said he'll make you feel better about going through it. He'll sit there and go with you. Whatever it is, he'll ease the pain. He'll lift it. If it doesn't go away, he'll make a way for you to bear it. He is the answer to whatever it is you need this morning in ways that I can't even explain. I don't have the words. I don't have the mental faculty to do it. But I know this much. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. If you've got a need this morning, they're going to sing a verse and a chorus of song. That's all we're going to sing this morning. We're going to sing a verse and chorus. We're not going to drag it out. We're not going to delay. One verse, one chorus this morning. If you have a need, come this morning. Someone will meet you. Someone will pray with you this morning. Whatever your need this morning, you come. Let God meet it. Pray, church. Go ahead, ladies. Oh, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm don't leave here this morning with anything undone. Don't take that need home with you this morning. There's no use in it. It's wasted energy. Let Christ meet that need this morning, whatever it may be. had every intention in my heart and mind this morning. It's going to be one verse and one chorus. I don't believe in dragging things out. If you're going to come, you're going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to deal with you. You're either going to say yes or no. But he's holding the door open a little longer this morning. He's holding the door open. Someone's not obeying the Spirit of God this morning. Folks, disobedience to the Spirit of God is close to blasphemy. I'm not saying that it is blasphemy, but I'm saying it's the beginning of. It's the opening of the door of, and that's the unpardonable sin. Don't turn him away, folks. Don't turn him away. God bless you. Have your way, Spirit. Thank you, lady. Appreciate the song. Appreciate those that came in obedience to the Spirit of God this morning. Like I say, I'm not going to guarantee you you'll walk away and whatever the problem is over and solved. But whatever it is, he'll give you grace. He'll give you grace to bear it, whatever it is. Praise his holy name.